Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. Today, more than ever, in our sex-crazed world, we need to talk about sexual purity. Some years ago, a Catholic priest, I'm a Lutheran pastor, and some evangelicals went down to the Minnesota State Senate to testify against homosexual marriage. A liberal ELCA Lutheran pastor who is a homosexual testified also, and he said, quote, "Modern biblical scholarship teaches that perhaps Naomi and Ruth in the Old Testament were lesbians." That is nowhere in the Old Testament. And now we have homosexual marriage in every state of the Union. America's in trouble. The church is in trouble, and most people don't even realize it. I forced myself recently to watch Bruce Jenner in a dress on the Ellen DeGeneres show. She's a lesbian. And during this interview, they both were selling sexual confusion. And what did the studio audience do? They gave them a standing ovation. The ELCA Lutheran Church now has its first transgender pastor, a woman who thinks she's a man, and now they put her in the pulpit to preach. Well, we're going to talk about sexual confusion today. And Planned Parenthood has been in the news about their gruesome abortions and baby parts. International Planned Parenthood now gets money from the United States. They came out some time ago with their, quote, "Stand and Deliver, Sex, Health, and Young People in the 21st Century." And when I read this, keep in mind for Planned Parenthood, young people refers to anyone over 10 years of age. Here's their manifesto. "Young people have the right to privacy, which is essential to the exercise of sexual autonomy." For 11-year-olds? "Young people have the right to confidentiality regarding sexual health services and care." Well, that's abortion in Planned Parenthood's mind. "Young people have the right to access information about sexual orientation, gender identity, etc." And now they take after the church. "Young people's sexuality is still contentious for many religious institutions. Fundamentalist and other religious groups, the Catholic Church and Islam, for example, many religions deny the pleasurable and positive aspects of sex and often focus on abstinence before marriage. The reality is young people are sexual beings. We need pragmatism." Now, I want to focus on their line, "Many religious teachings deny the pleasurable and positive aspects of sex." Do they? Listen, here's my response to Planned Parenthood. If you really want to have sexual pleasure, you do it God's way. That's where pleasure is, within the safety of heterosexual marriage. That's where sex is pleasurable. Let's talk about the pleasures of sex doing it Planned Parenthood's way. Here's the pleasures of premarital sex. Abortion. Emotional scars, kids without two parents, herpes, gonorrhea, AIDS, chlamydia, etc., etc. And according to the Bible, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, if you continue in sexual sin, you'll go to hell for eternity if you don't repent. Such are the pleasures of Planned Parenthood's premarital sex agenda. So my main point today is going to be this. Sex is great. God made sex, but if you want great sex, you do it God's way within heterosexual marriage. If you do it outside of that, you get hurt in this life and in the next. So would you take out your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and let's talk about sexual purity. Let's pray first. Father, we just pray for all people watching this program. Some are caught in abortion, some are caught in adultery, some are caught in premarital sex, many are caught in pornography. Lord, we would pray that you teach us what's right, But then even more than that, give us the grace of your Holy Spirit to do what is right, and we ask you to set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes to the Christians at Ephesus, starting at verse 1. Therefore, Ephesians, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice. I want you to notice the words, to God. Christ's sacrifice when he died on the cross was to God. Here's the first lesson for today. Jesus' sacrifice was to God. Now, all Christians believe that Jesus paid for our sins. But if you ask Christians, to whom did Jesus pay the debt for our sin? Sometimes you get, well, I guess Jesus paid the devil to set us free. To set us free from the devil. Jesus didn't pay the devil. Jesus didn't owe the devil anything. Who was Jesus paying? Who was Jesus sacrificed to on the cross? It says, to God. Let me explain this. Here's the way it works. This is called the substitutionary atonement of Christ. Here's the way the cross works. I'm a sinner. I deserve God's wrath. And he's a holy God. He has to punish sin. God can't wink at sin. So Jesus comes, lives the perfect life that I can't, dies in my place, pays God for my sins, because God is the one who was offended by my sin, not the devil. The devil loves my sin. And by his death on the cross, Jesus offered a sacrifice to God. Here's a story from the Old West. I don't think it's true, but it's a story. A rancher has two sons. One day his youngest son comes, Father, I'm tired of living under your roof, obeying your orders. I want my inheritance and I'm leaving. He took the money, got on the horse, went into the Old West. Now 2 years pass, and the father has not heard anything about the fate of his younger son. He calls the older son to him. Son, what your brother did was wrong, but I love him and I miss him. Would you go out and find him? And no matter what the cost, would you bring him home? And the older brother agreed. He got on his horse, rides from town to town. Have you seen my brother? Have you heard? Nobody knows anything. Finally, there's one last town, and he thinks, I'll give it one more try. He's riding into town, and he notices in the town square, a gallows is set up with a large crowd of people at the foot of the gallows. He drives up closer. He sees them just lowering the noose over the neck of his younger brother. And the older brother shouts, stop, what are you doing? This is my brother. And the townspeople turn to him. Your brother has killed in our town. He's robbed our banks, and we demand justice. And the older brother looked at his younger brother and loved him. And the older brother remembered what the father had said, no matter what the cost, get him home. He turned to the townspeople and said, I will die in my brother's place. They hung the older brother, and the younger brother went home free to the father. That's what happened on the cross. I'm the younger brother. I've sinned. I deserve eternally to be hung. But Jesus stepped in my place, put the noose over his own neck, died to pay for my sins so that God's wrath against my sin could be satisfied so that God could forgive my sins. Jesus' death, Jesus' sacrifice, was to God in his holiness. Now let's talk about sexual purity, verse 3. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Now, the word saints there is not referring to dead people. The word saints means holy ones. He's talking to the living Christians in Ephesus. So here's the next lesson. Saints are to be holy ones in regard to sex. You know, again, I'm going to say this. God made sex. The devil didn't make sex. God made sex. It was his idea. It's a great thing. But you have it only within heterosexual marriage. If you do it outside of marriage or prior to marriage, you're sinning. You know, I think, you know, when I ask people, did you have a mom or a dad talk to you about sex when you were young? 9 out of 10 of my friends will say they never said a word. Well, God bless my mom. I clearly remember I'm 11 years old. She sits me down in the den, Tommy, sex is a beautiful thing. God made it, but wait till you're married. And then 3 years later, we're sitting in the car. She did it again. Tommy, sex is a beautiful thing, but wait till you're married. Let's talk, first of all, to the men watching this program. Men, if you had sex before marriage, have you ever asked God to forgive you for that? If you've never asked God to forgive you for that, spend some time alone with the Lord and confess your sins to the Lord. Men, do you let yourself watch TV shows, videos, DVDs, websites that are sexually evil? Then you need to put covenant eyes on your computer, and you need to get an accountability partner, and the covenant eyes will send to your accountability partner what websites you visited that week. Men, are you living sexually pure for the Lord? Let's talk to the women. A new phenomenon for women. It used to be men, mainly, that had the porn problem. Not anymore. Have you heard about the phenomenon called mommy porn? 50 Shades of Grey. These books that are written for women, it's hardcore pornography. You know, I go to garage sales a lot. Here's women out, garage sales, selling their mommy porn. and women, let's talk to the women. How much time do you let yourself get into romance novels? Even innocent ones, that can kind of feed the wrong thing. Or women, are you in a relationship right now that you know displeases the Lord? Whether you're a man or a woman, everybody is called to be a saint, a holy one, regarding sex. Verse 4. Ephesians 5, verse 4, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Here's the next lesson. Replace bad humor with thanksgiving. Now, I love to joke, and I don't think anything's wrong with joking, but I need to pray in the morning, and I pray this, Lord, control my tongue so that I don't rip people with my humor. Do you know what the word sarcasm means in Greek? Sarx is the word flesh. Sarcasm means to rip flesh. And sometimes I rip flesh with my joking. I need to pray that I don't do that. And what Paul says to do here is instead of ripping people in negative humor and such, replace that with thanksgiving. In other words, nothing's wrong with healthy humor, but instead of bad humor, just a lot of times praise God, thank God. And you say to people, you know what the Lord did for me the other day? I just want to just thank God because this happened or that happened. Replace bad humor with thanksgiving. Verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Did you hear that? Here's the big lesson of this text. Impenitent sin leads to damnation, which is why when the ELCA Lutherans, the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church in America, and now the Disciples of Christ, when they decided to condone homosexual behavior, that was such a damning decision because they were saying to people, you can live in impenitent sin and be saved. No, you can't, according to Ephesians 5:5. I remember an old Lutheran pastor saying years ago, we are nicing people right into hell. And listen, I'll say this. If you've committed sexual sin, maybe you had an abortion, sex out of marriage, maybe you had five kids out of wedlock, if you're sorry for your sins and you repent and you come to Christ, there's forgiveness. But if you're living in sin, you're not going to heaven, Ephesians 5:5. Look at verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Here's the next lesson. Beware of the false teachers promoting grace abuse. I surmise from Ephesians 5:6, there were false teachers at Ephesus who were saying, well, you can live in sexual sin because, hey, we're saved by grace. The ELCA Lutherans National Magazine, official magazine is the Lutheran. They interviewed the Lutherans' first transgender pastor, and they asked her, what do you say to people who think transgenderism is a sin? You know what her response was? Well, we're saved by grace. That is called grace abuse. What does Paul say? Who is the champion of that we're saved by grace alone? Romans 6:1. Shall we continue in sin that grace might increase? His answer, may it never be. Beware of people pushing grace abuse. You know, I will tell you, I went to a pastor's conference, and one line was worth the whole price of the event. This pastor said, yes, we are saved by grace alone, not by good works, not by anything we do. We can't add anything. Yes, we're saved by grace alone, hallelujah. But then he said, grace never is alone. It always changes your life. So if you say, I've been saved by grace, the grace of Jesus, but you're living in impenitent sin, you haven't been saved by the grace of Jesus. Because again, he cleans up your life. Now listen, yes, we sin. I sin daily in thought, word, and deed. But when we sin, we repent. And if you don't repent, you haven't been saved by grace. Let me share with you the worst example of grace abuse I've ever heard. Years ago, when I was still in the ELCA Lutheran Church, and I discovered that the Lutheran Church in Portland, Oregon, was performing elective abortions, I wrote the bishop. And I said, how can a Christian hospital kill unborn children like this? His response to me, we can do this because the Lutheran Church stresses the grace of God. I thought, wait a minute. Because we believe we're saved by grace alone, which is true, by the way, therefore we kill babies? That is not true. Beware of people in your life or in your church that are promoting grace abuse. Verse 7. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Here's the next lesson from the Apostle Paul. Be careful who you partner with. Now, there's a balance here. We're supposed to love sinners, be around sinners, share the gospel with sinners, but we're not to overly do it, meaning if their sin is causing me to sin, I need to stay away from those people. And I get this from 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Paul says if you're a Christian, you marry a Christian. He says in 2 Corinthians 6, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, Christ with the devil? Therefore, go out from their midst. Be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you. And one more, 2 Corinthians 6, I will be then a father to you, you'll be sons and daughters to me. The point is, Christians, you and I are supposed to be different. And we are to be in the world, not of the world. But if being around certain people is causing you to sin, you stay away from those people. Verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. One last point today. It says here, walk in the light. So last question. How do I do that? How do I walk in the light so that I don't get caught up in old sin? Well, quickly, let me share four things. Number one, fellowship with other Christians. Do you go to church every week? Are you part of a small group or a Bible study where you're in fellowship with other Christians? Do you have some good Christian friends that you can hang out with? Christian fellowship is a huge way of walking in the light. A second way to walk in the light is prayer. Do you pray every day? Third way to walk in the light is Bible reading. Do you read your Bible every day? And then the fourth way to walk in the Lord is service. Are you doing anything right now to serve the Lord? I mean, if you're not, that's why you're on earth. God put you on earth to serve Him. You got to find some way to serve Him. The way we walk in the light is Christian fellowship, Bible reading, prayer, and then you got to find some service to perform for the Lord. Well, let me close this sermon by telling you one more time the main point. I hope you didn't miss it. Here's the main point. Sex is great. God made it, not the devil. Sex was God's idea. But protect yourself and do it the way God tells you, which is only within heterosexual marriage. And I'll close with this. When I was a little boy, the most vocal Christian I knew was my Aunt Marge. She was always talking to you about God and Jesus, and she was very vocal about her faith. Well, she died a number of years ago. I discovered Aunt Marge's first child, my cousin, was conceived out of wedlock, and Aunt Marge married the father. They moved to California so they could tell Grandma and Grandpa a different birthday for my cousin so that Grandma and Grandpa wouldn't discover that Sargie was born out of wedlock. And I heard that and I thought, Aunt Marge? But you know the good thing about that story? Aunt Marge didn't let her past sin keep her from serving Jesus in the present. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people watching this show, you have past sexual sin. If you will come to Jesus and say, please forgive me, wash me, I want to be back with you again, he will forgive you, fill you with the Holy Spirit, and he'll use you. Even, you know, if you've had an abortion, children out of wedlock, premarital sex, homosexuality, if you'll repent and come to him, he'll forgive you, and he'll use you like he used my Aunt Marge. Don't let your past sin keep you from serving Jesus in the present. On this TV show years ago, we interviewed a woman who had a life of prostitution. She came to Christ, got born again. Now she started a group helping other women out of prostitution. She's not letting her past sin keep her from serving Jesus in the present. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we now ask Pastor Brock to share with us his knowledge of Scripture and his insights to answer questions we have regarding the Bible, our Lord, and our everyday walk with him. Pastor Brock, how do you answer someone who says that a stance against transgenderism and homosexuality is making young people kill themselves?
Yeah. I had someone challenge me on this, and I think her point was, because you take a stand against transgenderism and homosexuality, therefore you're making young people kill themselves. And Jackie, I think that's ludicrous. Young people, Jackie, are killing themselves because they have a drug addiction. Are we supposed to tell people drug addiction is okay? There are some people who have killed themselves because they were in an adulterous affair, committing adultery, and the guilt overwhelmed them. They killed themselves. Therefore, should we tell people that adultery is okay? I mean, I think that's kind of crazy. But on the other hand, we want to be loving toward people who are caught up in any kind of sexual sin. I mean, Jackie, I had a pastor from Wisconsin drive in to see me. He's got a young man he knows who he and his boyfriend have just broken up. He's trying to get this young man away from homosexuality. He heard that this has been my struggle in my life with that temptation. So I sat down with this Lutheran pastor and this 19-year-old young man, and the pastor and I lovingly, gently, kindly urged him to turn away from that and to follow the Lord. And so we have to be loving and kind about it, but we don't change the teaching of the Bible because somebody killed themselves.
Okay. How do you define fornication, Pastor Brock?
Yeah, fornication is when someone has sex outside. Actually, it's kind of a blanket term, but often it refers to sex outside of marriage. That's fornication. Adultery is different. Adultery is when someone is married and they have sex outside of their marriage. So there's premarital sex, fornication, and then there's adultery within marriage.
Okay, so adultery is sex while you're married.
Yeah.
Okay, that was my next part, is to separate those two, and you did it just fine. Did Jesus ever say anything about homosexuality or gay marriage?
Yeah, you often get, if you hold my conservative view that sex is for heterosexual marriage only, you often get, well, Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. Jesus never said anything about marriage. Oh, you better believe he did say something about marriage. Read Matthew chapter 19. Jesus calls marriage one man and one woman. Matthew 19, Jesus calls marriage one man and one woman. Well, he didn't say anything about homosexuality. Well, wait a minute. Jesus never said anything about wife beating. He never said anything about incest or rape. Does that mean he's in favor of rape and incest and wife beating? See, Jesus was a Jew. He believed in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is very clear on homosexuality. The New Testament is very clear on homosexuality. Romans chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 1. So, Jackie, to say that Jesus didn't say anything about it doesn't mean that he's for it.
Okay. And what he did tell people
was one man, one woman.
All right. So, if a person has a certain sin habit and they've asked God to help them and they still stumble, what is your advice to them?
Yeah. I mean, Jackie, you know, people stumble with pornography for years or sexual sin for years. James chapter 5 says, Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The way to be healed of that, you got to confess your sins to somebody. You got to have a priest. It can be a literal priest, or it can be just a Christian that you trust, but you talk to that person. They hold you accountable regularly for your weak spots, and that is a good way to put a dent into a sin habit. Get an accountability partner.
Where in the Bible does it tell us we have to be accountable?
Basically, I would point to James 5:5. If we confess, confess your sins to one another. Another good one is Proverbs. In an abundance of counselors, there is victory. And if people, see, the thing about sin, if you keep it hidden and nobody knows about it, the devil gets a victory over that. If you take the gutsy step of actually talking to somebody about your sin, that's when people start to get healed. So again, if you got a sexual sin, there's Sexaholics Anonymous, there's a group like that, Alcoholics Anonymous, there are groups where you can get some help.
Okay, you talked about these churches now that have women and men who are homosexuals as pastors. Mm-hmm. What happens if, should you not go to a church that has a pastor that's gay homosexual?
Jackie, I still struggle with same-sex attraction, but I'm a celibate. I've always been celibate. And I think if your pastor struggles with any certain temptation, but he's not living in it, then you can go to that pastor. If the pastor is living in sexual sin or adultery or drunkenness, you fill in the blank, if they're living in that sin and they're not repentant, I wouldn't go to that church.
Okay, then I guess the last question I have for you is, are you saying that if you're having sex outside of marriage, you'll go to hell?
1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, Corinthians, but you were washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. There's forgiveness for those sins, but if you're living in those sins and don't repent, you're going to hell. Ephesians 5:5, we just said, says the same, Paul says the same thing. Don't be deceived. These people will not go to heaven.
Well, we want to thank you for being with us this week. We hope that this has helped you in your walk with the Lord. And we pray that God would be with you, granting you his richest blessings until we're together again next time.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org. Or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.